Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video. I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we are talking about just a few things. Of course, our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com, to go ahead and get one of those. Help Revy out, get one for your doll. Christmas is coming. You know what to get your doll for Christmas. Are you a friend that has a doll? Or I think you can use them without the doll.
A friend that looks frustrated and sweaty, doesn't know what to do in life, get them a spinning robot pussy.
There you
He'll
go.
Figure it out.
And we also want to support the Dragon's Treasure Tea. You can use the code NOSE or Four Doors More Horse to get 10% off your order on tea. They do anime-flavored or anime-inspired teas. So if you like anime and you like tea, then you want to hit up the Dragon's Treasure. Okay. Also, you guys have, a couple hours to get Do You Like Horny Bunnies for 20% off on Jast USA. I've played Do You Like Horny Bunnies. And, guys, it actually has animated hentai scenes. I know, that's rare. That's something they did back in the 90s. And it actually kind of works. It's cool. You get to see your text, just like a normal hentai scene, but there's animation in the background. And I'm not talking about, the 3D, the live 2D stuff. I'm talking about actual hentai animation. So that's pretty interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on. Manga Gamers sale should still be in full swing. I'm not sure. But if so, they damn near took everything. I mean, dude, I spent, over $200 on Aerogay. It's a lot of good sales, guys. I got a lot of good games, a lot of stuff that, I've had on my list for a while, the fun bag, fantasy games, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, check those out. And now we'll go ahead and we'll start, because we are going to do some articles, but we got a few things. First, I want to talk about, I did a whole video, solo video, and I was talking about my anxiety. I found this book, just Google searching, typing things in. I was typing in a lot of stuff about my anxiety, and I found a book called Fuck Anxiety, and it was written by this guy, and I love the way he wrote it, because it's a psychological book, but it's written in a way that I can understand. He actually is this guy that did, a modern approach. It's your brain is an asshole sometimes. And, when your douche brain decides to, I just love the way this guy writes, because he's not, giving me this, he's giving me, they broke it down, and I basically found out why I was having this whole death clock shit. It's basically because, I'll make it short. There was an exercise in the book that they wanted me to do, and when I did it, my anxiety kind of went away, because I found out what the root cause of it was. They said, basically, describe an event. And the first thing I could think of was my change in my shift. So that's what I did. I basically put down my shift. And then the third box, you put down how you feel. Your emotion. How you feel right now. And I basically put down everything I feel like. And then the middle box is you talk about why you feel that way. You talk about what things led up to you feeling that way. And I looked at it all, and I'm like, oh my god, this isn't about me being afraid to die. This is nothing to do with me about death or anything like that. All this shit is in my head because I'm so stressed out, and I'm so over the moon because of the situation I'm in right now. And of course, it's not really good when I can't spend time with my mother like I used to. And she's 67, she's not going to be around forever. So, we used to spend time, and she's really upset, dude. She's calling her relatives, saying that she doesn't get to spend time with me anymore, and it's really, rough for her, because, again, she's not going to be around forever. So that was really, that was what was pushing me. My brain was like, maybe one day I'll be gone, and she won't have anybody, and I was seeing visions of her just crying because I'm gone and not know what to do with it, all that kind of stuff. And I just realized that this isn't any kind of sign that I'm dying. This is my brain trying to exercise the frustration of my situation with this shift, because they literally destroyed everything that I enjoyed in my life, And And a lot of people say, you know, just quit the job. But I'm not going to do that. I've been there too long. I need the money. And the thing is, they are pushing to get me back onto that other shift. I talked to my former manager a couple of days ago, and she's pushing.
And she honestly said, where we're at, that's almost one of your only options.
Yeah.
Especially...
Because people are saying, go to Amazon. You're like, oh, well, you have to get a ride out to Amazon. Amazon's pretty far out there.
That's about a 45-minute drive, a little longer.
But my boss pretty much treats me like shit, and he is a simp. He's got this girl that she's actually not bad for a black girl, but look, she's a German Shepherd. She's a German Shepherd. We're going to be on whatever her name is, she's a German Shepherd. And, I mean, she's a single mother. Has brought the baby to show that she's a single mother. Ain't no father in that at all. And she's upset. Doesn't know what to do with herself. She's always bitching, always upset. But these tall, big, muscular black guys, they have her giggling like a little schoolgirl every time. You see a little white guy like me. And I'm tall. I'm tall white guy, but I'm not built like some of those.
Are you jealous?
No. I'm not jealous because I'm not jealous. I'm saying there's a different treatment. I'm saying there's a different level of treatment.
Yeah, if she at least showed you respect.
Yeah, there's a different level of treatment.
Reasonable. Like, if she's not interested in sleeping with you, she don't have any respect or doesn't show you the respect you deserve, probably.
Yeah, there's a different level of treatment. She hollers, she yells, she bitches. She talks about how I only get 5 hours of sleep because the baby basically keeps her up. There's no man. You could tell there's no man. Because if there was a man there, she would sleep and the man would get up and take care of the kid. There's no man
like
there.
The kind of girl she is the way you and, describe her.
I mean, that's what's going on. And she obviously doesn't have a boyfriend, can't find one, have a problem. Well, I bet she's finding fuck buddies. I bet she's finding fuck boys all day long. Well, I mean, I bet she's finding fuck boys all day long, but she's still trying to look for the, I want a real man. You know what sucks, though?
I'll make a point.
She's young. She's a really young girl.
While we're on the subject, is, you know, and this isn't anything that we didn't already know.
Right.
But I've been watching this show with my mom. She'll DVR it when I come over and we'll watch it. And we'll binge watch the hell out of it.
What is it?
1,000-Pound Sisters.
Oh, Lord.
One of them is 600, started out on the show as 608 pounds. Now she's almost up to 700 pounds.
God damn.
And she was supposed to be losing weight, but she couldn't because the food's too delicious. And then she got her other sister that was 400-something pounds. And they're short folks. Like, when they get in the car, she's all calf and cankle. She's so fat at all you can see really moving is her calf and her ankle.
It's like bits of fat hanging out of the car windows.
Like, the fat's hanging.
She's so fat, she has to take her arm. Like, she fits in both the driver's side seat and the passenger seat. And it's like arm has to go out one window and one arm has to go out the other.
I used to work in the hospital equipment industry. And I would see cases like that where they were so fat. It looks like a heap of something melting. Like, the fat is pouring over the other rolls of fat, and it is just disgusting. And, I mean, I feel bad for them, but the smell prevents me from hugging them. And you think...
Oh, jeez, yeah.
There's not a smell that wouldn't keep me away from being empathetic.
Believe me, there is.
I've had smells that stuck to my clothes and I had
God.
And it's just so awful. But anyway, so the one at 700 pounds, she has been finding guys to hook up with her. on the show.
How? Oh, those fucking feeder guys. I guarantee it. Are they black?
Yep,
black. Oh! Skinny. Oh, brown. Drexel just fucking talked about this shit on Nick's show. And, there you go.
And they are skinny as hell. It don't look right. And some of them, oh, man, they keep feeding her. And she and the doctor keeps telling her, if you don't stop, I don't see you being alive in 5 years. And she goes, I want to stop, but this cake. And her sister actually, she was having the same issues, but she actually lost the weight to get the surgery. And she got an attitude. She's like, come back. I ain't done with you. And her sister's like, I'm done with you, bitch. They're from Georgia.
Oh, Lord.
They are hilarious. But I want her health to improve because I got to keep this show going. But, oh, my goodness. I guarantee you. Some people just like them big, I guess.
God!
You know, a guy in the same predicament is not gonna... You're not gonna find women like, let me bring you food. Fuck you. Oh, you know what I like? Like, no, you aren't gonna find women in the same predicament because fat men that can't move can't bring them money.
Yep. That's it.
Maybe disability. I think that's how a lot of them make money besides the show. I'm sure they're getting paid for it. You gotta get paid for that.
And then, of course, you know, I was talking about, guys shared a video in Drexel's server about these. Japan has a professional dating industry. So they take these beautiful, you know, these attractive looking guys, and they basically have all these women. There ain't nothing wrong with them. I looked at them. They're not like super fat or ugly women. They're just regular Japanese women. And they basically go over there. They pay these guys to, I mean, the men basically pretend to have an affair with them. They pretend to be lovers. He said, if your goal is to deceive people, they try to make it like they're not deceiving people. They literally say, you know, if you're there to deceive people, we don't want you. But
that's exactly what you're doing.
That's what they're doing.
Are they actually sleeping with them? Or
I don't know. I don't know on that. I don't know on that front. But I do know that they come in, they pay these guys for attention.
I know they pay for families over there, where fake families that show up and spend time with them and do stuff.
Well, that's where we're headed. Because I know that these girls, like even ones I've talked to, they're talking about how, you know, they'd rather have the dildos and stuff. Like, I can get an orgasm, I don't need a man. But then they're like, oh, I want a guy for support. I want a guy to be emotional and talk to me. And that's what these guys do. They basically go over there, they say everything you want to hear, they listen to your problems, and they pretend to do so. They do everything that the man, that the woman wants a man to do for them. And then they go and they leave. Well, and it's an attractive guy that they like to look
most
at.
Most of those people that, like, oh, I just need a dildo and all that, have never been in a true relationship. They've been in relationships.
They might have even been married. They might have even been married.
Yeah.
That
or they've hooked up with him and then the guy takes off after he gets what he wants. Or, you know, maybe some cases now women are doing that.
Yeah, it's like that now. But no, it's a bad situation all the way around. Ooh. Man, I'm having a really bad... This thing is not...
Kind of freezing up.
Yeah, it's kind of freezing up a little bit. It's weird. It didn't do that before. I don't know what happened, but I fixed it. That's weird. The computer usually doesn't do that. I wonder what was going on. Anyway, yeah, that's where we're headed. We are definitely headed that way. There's even some young girls at work that are talking. I mean, these are teenagers, man. They're teenagers talking about this kind of shit now. Talking about how they don't want, no, they don't really need it. Like, they have the vibrators and the dildos. They have all their toys and stuff. So,
that's what I was telling you about. One girl's in high school talking about, she's slept with this one guy, and he done got another girl pregnant. Mm-hmm. He's trying to play both sides.
Yeah, and I mean, then that's the other what girl's doing.
Like, I got 5 toys. I don't need a man and all that.
Right, and these are teenagers.
Yeah, and I said, in case 3 break down, oh. And at that point, she wanted to get me the remote for the TV.
These are all black girls?
Yep.
Okay, they're all black girls. And some of them are not like the fat black girls. Some of these are actually kind of skinny girls.
2 of them were skinny. 1 was medium and 1 was extra large.
Okay. So what was the one look like that was talking about the vibe?
She usually does good in the black
community. Yeah, it does. But what was the... The woman had talked about the toys. Was she the skinny or the fat one?
She's skinny.
Okay. See, well, that's what I'm talking about. These skinny black girls, a lot of... Oh, I don't know.
But all of them sat... I mean, no offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand cultural differences.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they did seem trashy.
Okay.
They were talking about picking fights at parties. Like, that's not why I go to a party.
Hell no.
I come to have a good time. Oh, if they gonna fight, I'm about to throw down. I'm like, that's terrible. I'm like, you know, I would never show up at a party just to fight somebody. That's too much energy on my part.
Now, see, Invader Tech, he just said, so they're basically male escorts. Not completely, because escort usually comes over to you. You come to them. You basically go to their establishment. You basically, you do everything in their establishment. Everything is handled through their establishment, through their company. It's a big company. They consider it a store. I mean, they consider it a store in the video.
So prostitution's legal over there, isn't it?
No. It just is. I don't know. I don't really know on that one. Can anybody give me some information on prostitution legality in Japan? Because if you find anything, let me know. Because that would help us out on that question. Because
I'd say if they can't set or truly set a legal affair site, you know, it actually does affairs. But also, if everyone's doing it, you gotta assume, oh, they're with the agency.
All right, but let's go ahead and get it started. Okay. Prostitution is illegal in Japan, according to what Invader Tech just said.
Well, then they aren't. If they are doing it, it's under the table, the actual sex with an affair.
Here we go. It says... The Salvation Army thinks you're racist. This is from Not the Bee, which means it's not the Babylon Bee. It's their real news site. They have Babylon Bee, which is just comedy, and Not the Bee, which is non-comedy. It's actual true stories that are surprisingly not comedy, not parody. The Salvation Army thinks you're a racist, and oh, while you're here, spare some change. It says, sure, you can continue to fully focus your efforts on your decades-long mission of raising money to help the poor. Yeah, you could do that. Or you could embrace an explicitly racist agenda intended to create division and distress. Well, distrust, rather. Welcome to the newly, fully workified Salvation Army.
What is the context behind
that? What is it about human nature that drives people's need to curry favor with those who hate them? Basically, it says, okay, so there's this is a bunch of Twitter stuff.
Why would
stuff.
You try to win people over with thinking you're having affairs, what they're getting at?
The Salvation Army's latest attempt to win the love of the elite is a document they pushed on the people. It's a target-rich environment. How target-rich? The document, a resource the Daily Wire links to, is called Let's Talk About Racism. Sounds like fun. How much fun? The kind of fun which we have grown all too familiar. I should note first that the link the Daily Wire provides yields this result. File not found. Oops, I just went to the Wayback Machine to find it. Let's get started. The topic is racism. Perhaps you don't feel as if you personally have done anything wrong. Okay. Perhaps God spoke to you during your time of lament, and you have an idea of what you need to repent and apologize for. In other words, you may not think you've done anything wrong, but you've done something wrong. Repent. This puts a thoroughly Christian spin on anti-racist wokeness. That is on purpose, of course. The divisions between black and white Americans and the church run very deep. American slavery and the American church developed simultaneously, and slavery was largely endorsed and supported by the church. This takes a weird turn. It's not Christianity is inherently racist, as the Daily Wire claimed in its write-up, but it does try to closely tie the church to slavery. This is an unfair distinction. Lots of things developed simultaneously with slavery. Racism was rampant in America and everywhere else in the world at the time. Singling out the church is purposeful and misleading. Lament requires us to search our hearts, determine where we have fallen, and sincerely grieve. At this time, either alone or in a group, take time to lament. Acknowledge the church's complicity with racism and discrimination, past and present, and engage in confession and lament of our shortcomings, both personal and corporate, for not actively fighting against racism. Past and present. Present. Yep, this is full-on anti-racist training. Many have come to believe that we live in a post-racial society. Many, not them, though. They have been enlightened and are here to shine a light on your own ignorance. But racism is very real for our brothers and sisters who are refused jobs and housing, denied basic rights, and brutalized and oppressed simply because of the color of their skin. Here we are, right back in 1950s Alabama, now and forever. We cannot rely on our black and brown brothers and sisters to educate us about racism, white supremacy, and the inequalities that exist because of it. Yep, the Salvation Army goes all in. Did I say all in? All in. The goal was to not become colorblind. The goal is not to see a person for who he or she is, to see past their mortal shell and their soul. Excuse me, folks. I was really confused on this part, folks. There was a lot of pausing. No, this is the Salvation Army's new Christianity. We now need to embrace the mortal shell and make judgments based on it, because only by being explicitly racist and worldly can we be anti-racist and spiritual, or something. Let me just finish it. Color blindness is often dangerous because while we may not claim to see color, we don't address the race-based stereotypes of beauty, fame, and intelligence, which often support a supremacist ideology. Remember when I said this was a target-rich environment? You may also have to fight off the tendency to project color blindness onto POCs. To look beyond the appearance of a person of color neglects the cultural traumas that person and their earlier generations have met. Bang! Stop trying to be colorblind. While this might sound helpful, it actually ignores the God-given differences we all possess, as well as the beautiful cultures of our black and brown brothers and sisters. Bang! Instead of trying to be colorblind, try seeing the beauty in our differences. Bang! This is all so deceptive. Being colorblind does not mean you ignore the beauty of our differences. It means you aren't racist. It means you don't make assumptions based on the color of someone's skin. It's not hard. This is the trickery they pull all the time. It is intended to put you on the defensive and hope you won't notice. One final bit of trickery. Note question 3. Oh, wow. There is a test here. There is a test that has numbers from 1 to 5, which is 1 is strongly disagree and 5 is strongly agree. The first question, or the first statement. I recognize that racism is a present and current problem. 2. I can handle uncomfortable topics. 3. I understand my own racial biases. 4. I listen to others who think and look differently to me. 5. I believe that there is a place for repentance for the sin of racism in the church. 6. I will take definitive action as an anti-racist in the future. Note question number 3. I understand my own racial biases. This is a leading question with no answer that does not involve you not being a racist. Strongly disagree? Oh, so you're saying you don't understand that you're a racist? Strongly agree? Oh, so you're saying you do understand that you're a racist? I haven't even gotten to the appendix, nor the handy study guide the Salvation Army also provided. Perhaps another time. Suffice it to say that this document reeks of the explicitly racist thinking of the anti-racists. However, before I let you go, we need to address the Army's desperate attempt to refute the changes. The Salvation Army's response to false claims on the topic of racism. False claims on the topic of racism. Roll that one around your brain for a moment, particularly after having read up to this point. Though we committed to serving everyone in need, regardless of their beliefs, backgrounds, and lifestyle, recently some individuals and groups have attempted to mislabel our organization to serve their own agendas. They have made outrageous claims that we believe our donors should apologize for their own racism. To recap from above, from the document they are promoting and engage in confession and lament of our shortcomings, both personal and corporate, for not actively fighting against racism. How is it outrageous to claim you said what you just said? And that's just one passage among many. To continue, that the Salvation Army believes America is an inherently racist society, again, from just a few moments ago, we cannot rely on our black and brown brothers and sisters to educate us about racism, white supremacy, and the inequalities that exist because of it. And yet they soldier on, pardon the pun. Those claims are false, and they distort the very goal of our work. No, they aren't. Provably so. If anything, it is the Salvation Army that is distorting, and worse, jeopardizing the very goal of their work. Then comes the, we're just trying to encourage discussion defense. The Salvation Army has occasionally published study guides on various complex topics, including race, to help foster positive conversations and reflection among Salvationists. Telling people they're racist equals positive conversations. Got that? The hope is that by openly discussing these issues, we can encourage a more thoughtful organization that is better positioned to serve those in need. These guides are solely designed for internal use. No one is being told how to think, period. Sounds like a nerve was struck. The very purpose of conversation is to share differing points of view and to hear from people. To hear from people with different experiences. Discussion is not indoctrination. It's what reasonable people do. Okay, why not suggest some documents from Bob Woodson's 1776 Unites? I mean, they are people with different experiences. It's what reasonable people do, after all. Or is someone who propounds the importance of hewing to Martin Luther King's dream of a colorblind society insufficient to gain the favor of Hollywood and big tech? The Salvation Army does great work. But this racist thinking is infecting and poisoning too many sectors of our society, and it won't stop until they are all called out for it and punished. However, we don't want the innocents they help to suffer, too. So please offer your own suggestions in the comments for where your donations could do the most good and would be administered by organizations that better reflect your values and the values of America. Without apologies.
I mean, it seems like they're going against everything the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
Don't judge lest ye be judged.
Yep.
Which, I mean, you can have an opinion on things, I think, but thing is, probably what I say, 2016 when Trump ran, the only time I've heard about racism before then was when I was hearing about history from the 50s, 60s and below, you know. So, like, I never grew up around a lot of racism. But, yeah, ever since 2016, all I've been hearing is racist, racist, racist from the left. Never from the right. And now at Biden's in office, critical race theory. That's basically what that Salvation Army is, critical race theory. Like, oh, you gotta understand that you're white and you're evil and you're racist no matter what you think you are. And so you have to ask for I don't know what they're trying to do, but it's ridiculous. I mean, what... like I said, the only time I've heard in the past 8 years anything about racism was from a Democrat.
So. Right. Okay, our next article comes from Yahoo News. Government issuing keyword warrants to Google to determine what internet users are searching for. The United States government has reportedly been issuing secret keyword warrants to Google for those who look up certain phrases, names, triggering worry over privacy, in addition to concern for innocent internet users who could unwillingly and erroneously become involved in major criminal investigations. The controversial practice used in secret to search for criminals for years was revealed on Tuesday in accidentally unsealed court documents cited by Forbes. So far, only a few such warrants have been made public. The most recent one stemming from a... Oh, there it is. Shit. Oh, nope, it got me. Yep, okay. So far, only a few such warrants have been made public, the most recent one stemming from a 2019 investigation in Wisconsin, where authorities have been searching for men accused of participating in the abuse and sexual trafficking of a minor. In a bid to hunt down the criminals, officials asked that Google give up information, including IP addresses, account names, and cookie IDs, for users who search for the victim's name, two spelling of her mother's name, and her address during a specific 16 days the same year she disappeared. The tech giant did provide authorities with the data, but it's not clear how many names were turned over. The investigation is still active, and the warrant was among the unsealed documents obtained by Forbes. The Department of Justice had not even been made aware it was public until they reached for comment, which they declined to provide, of course. Only two other keyword warrants had been disclosed prior to the Forbes article. In 2020, officials again turned to Google, requesting information on anyone looking up the address of an arson victim, who was also a witness in the government's racketeering case against singer R. Kelly. Another detained in 2017 revealed that a Minnesota judge signed off on a warrant asking Google to provide information to anyone who searched a fraud victim's name from within the city of Edina, where a crime took place. Forbes was also able to identify a third unreported warrant filed in the Northern District of California December of last year, which remains sealed. Trawling through Google's search history database enables police to identify people merely based on what they might have been thinking about for whatever reason at some point in the past, Jennifer Granick, Surveillance and Cybersecurity Council of the American Civil Liberty Union, told Forbes. This never before possible technique threatens First Amendment interests and will inevitably sweep up innocent people, especially if the keyword terms are not unique and the time frame not precise. To make matters worse, police are currently doing this in secret, which insinuates the practice from public debate and regulation, she added. In wake of the Forbes report, Jennifer Lynch, surveillance litigation director of the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, identified another three warrants issued during the investigation into serial Austin bombings in 2018, which resulted in the deaths of two people. They requested Google account information for individuals who researched multiple different addresses and some terms associated with bomb making, such as low explosives and a pipe bomb. Oof. Can't even say those words. Similar orders were served on Microsoft and Yahoo for their respective search engines. And for what data the tech companies gave to investigators, that information remains under seal. Like the quartering said, you cannot really use the term. You don't want to search up the word boom boom, which is really going to suck if somebody decides to put that in a game. Like right now we have like Bomberman, but we don't have anything super popular that would involve the word bomb. Because it would be really fucked up for the whole FBI if somebody made a really popular game for kids that had the word bomb in it or something, like Bomber Heroes, I mean, something like that. And then all these kids would be looking up that game, and the FBI would be like, you know what, fuck this. They would probably actually try to get in touch with the game developers and force the game developers to change their name. And it would be just an absolute shitstorm. Yeah, it would be bad, because people would know it was going on. They were like, okay, why is the FBI getting a hold of us? Oh, really? Because you're trying to get in... Yeah. It would be crazy if they did something like that.
A band named themselves, There's a Bomb in Here.
Yeah.
There's a bomb in here! Tonight!
Oh, I know there's an enemy named Boom Boom, but I'm talking about Bomb, that's why we say Boom Boom, but... But he was, I think the quartering was using the term boom boom because you couldn't say the other.
Vertigo.
Yeah. You couldn't use the other term. Not that we advocate any of that shit. Just, yeah. How eBay is positioning itself this holiday season amid supply chain woes. Okay, well, let's see. Okay, it's not that long. Ahead of a holiday season that will be plagued by supply chain issues and ongoing pandemic, eBay appears well-positioned to capture demand from shoppers who want guaranteed product and deliveries. Late last month, eBay Senior VP and General Manager for eBay's North American market, Jordan Sweetman, wrote in a blog post about how the online platform is answering the needs of customers worried about scarcity this year. In recent months, all types of luxury brands, Rolex, Louis Vuitton, and Nike, have advertised high-profile inventory shortages driven by supply chain issues, Sweetman wrote. When this happens, people turn to eBay for many solutions and options and a full assortment of their most iconic styles and lines. As a result, we've experienced significant upticks in sales of scarce brands compared to this time last year. Customers are also more interested in buying pre-owned goods than ever before, according to Charles Marquez, Vice President of Fashion at eBay, who joined Ad Age's Marketeers Brief podcast this week to discuss how eBay is navigating new demand and holiday messaging. What we are seeing is that people have a more openness to pre-owned merchandise, not just resale, but pre-owned, says Marquez. I guess it's Marquez. Noting that growth of pre-owned sneakers is currently 15% higher on eBay than of new sneakers. When you think about pre-owned, you think, great, I'm also doing something kind of great for the environment. Still, eBay must be content with rising competition from brick-and-mortar retailers. In late October, eBay gave a sales forecast that missed analysts' expectations and showed a potential slide in pandemic-induced growth, giving consumers shifting shopping habits back to in-person spending. In its holiday marketing, eBay is incorporating messaging that tells consumers the online platform will have what they need this year, Marquez said. In addition, eBay plans to merge digital with physical shopping by hosting a series of pop-up shops. A sneaker shop will open in Detroit, a shop with luxury items will open in Miami, and a collectible shop will open in Houston. The pop-up events are unique, said Marquez. They're actually trying to bring back brick-and-mortar stores. Surprising, right? The pop-up events are unique, he said. On the podcast, Marquez also discusses what's ahead for eBay in 2022, as the marketplace looks at changing consumer behavior, which could include a shift towards more in-person shopping following huge gains in e-commerce. So there you go with that. Yep. Let's see. We got another one here I was told to go over. Just give us a minute. Hundreds of FedEx packages found in Blount County Ravine. Blount County authorities are trying to determine why several hundred packages were discovered in a ravine Wednesday evening. According to a post from Sheriff's Office Facebook page, about 300 to 400 boxes of assorted sizes were found in a ravine off River Oak Trail on private property near Hayden. A later update on Wednesday from authorities stated that FedEx is on the scene. Sheriff Mark Moon said it appeared the packages had been on the scene within 24 hours, but it was not immediately clear why they were there. Deputies will stay with the packages until first light, he said, when trucks will arrive to collect them. It's not a very deep ravine, and they'll be able to hand-carry the boxes onto trucks, Moon said. It'll be easier at first light. Company employees believe they will be able to determine what happened once the packages are scanned. FedEx was on the scene Thursday morning, the sheriff's office reported shortly after 7 a.m. Why the packages were dumped remained a mystery Thursday morning. No one knows yet, Moon said. Note to readers, if you purchase something through one of our affiliate links, we may earn a commission. Okay, well that's not important. But thanks, Serious Black Guy, for sending me this article. So that's another content creator. Go check his stuff out. Go check out Serious Black Guy. He does some good stuff. Okay, now this is an interesting one. We've got of all the crazy articles of the things that happen in South Carolina. Papa Pig blocks South Carolina road. Deputies help him get home. Two lanes of a road in York County were closed on Thursday as deputies worked to get a pig out of the way. Yeah, due to a large pig blocking the road and causing onlooker delays, according to the York County Sheriff's Office. They said the owners of the road hog were found, and deputies said the animal's name was Papa Pig. The pig was so large he broke the owner's trailer. The Sheriff's Office used their horse trailer to help get him home. Papa Pig was wrangled up in less than 3 minutes by our Mounted Patrol Commander, Mark McCarter. Mr. Pig is safely out of the road and on his way home, the sheriff's office said in a tweet. Well, shit.
Well, good deal.
I'm glad to hear it. We already...
There's something there.
Let's see, inside... We talked about that one. A couple older articles that we didn't catch. You're going to go back through those.
Yeah.
We got the Washington Post, which hopefully isn't going to be 100 paragraphs. We'll see. Because you know how they like. The Washington Times. Oh, shit. This could be longer than hell. Let's see. It doesn't look like it. Nah, I don't think so. Well, they have click to read more and view comments. Well, we don't need to read more and view comments. We're fine with what they're giving me. I'm good. Portland. Of course it's Portland. Rittenhouse protests in Portland, Oregon declared a riot.
mean.
Portland police Friday night declared as a riot a demonstration downtown against the acquittal of a teen who killed two people and injured another during a protest in Wisconsin. The protest of about 200 people was declared a riot after protesters started breaking windows, throwing objects at police, and talked about burning down the Justice Center. The protesters gathered following the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse, 18, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Portland Police Bureau Chief Chuck Lovell said shortly after the verdict that officers were working on plans for Friday night and the weekend. At about 8:50, 200 protesters had gathered in downtown Portland and blocked the streets. By 9 p.m., windows were broken and doors of city facilities were damaged. Police tweeted objects were being thrown at officers in the area. The police tweeted, a crowd has gathered near Southeast 2nd Avenue and Southeast Madison Street. Participants have begun breaking windows and damaging doors of city facilities in the area. People are throwing objects at police officers in the area. So, yeah. I bet they'll just slap them on the wrist and let them go, oh, it's okay.
Well, you know, that, and that's the deal with that. They're actually injuring people.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm one or the other.
But you know what's
that on January the 6th.
But you know what's funny about all this?
Like that was apocalyptic and no one died except for a girl that was protesting.
But you know what's funny about all this? Are these the same people that say, we have laws for a reason, you know, about the whole they were trying to defend. I was arguing with some fucking crazy feminists. I actually looked at the people I was arguing with, and I realized I shouldn't have been arguing with them. I mean, just the look of these fucking single white mothers that are just decked out, looking like they, I don't know, tattoos on the face, and just crazy shit. And, of course, they're really jealous of my doll. They straight up said, you know, like they said, oh, you might be a pedophile or something because, you know, because I was talking about the situation with the pedophiles and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, we have to shoot them. I'm like, and I was talking about, that's not how mental health works. Yeah. That's not how you fix somebody with a mental illness. Or, oh, you're defending them. I said, I'm defending people that haven't actually harmed anybody and need mental fucking help. Like, need physical therapy.
Well, the only
therapy.
Problem with that is, usually the only time they're ever found out
is if
when
they do.
They
mm-hmm.
do something.
That's well, you know why they. You know why, right?
Well, because
they don't want to get because they don't. It. Well, no, not that.
They don't want to be.
They
on
don't
the
want
list.
To be on the list, which actually doesn't happen. That's the thing. That's the stigma. You don't actually get put on a list for that. Yes, they call the authorities, but they don't put you on a list because you haven't. You can't be on a sex offender list if you're not a sex offender. So basically what they do is they go ahead and, you know, they get you the treatment that you need so you can suppress it and, you know, alternatives, things like that. I mean, I get it. But again, people that are actually, you know, child molesters, people who've actually fucking harmed kids, those are the people like Rosenbaum. Yeah, he deserved the bullet to his head. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, he did.
I mean, it was pure chance that. Well, I wouldn't say pure chance.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say divine judgment.
From jail.
Divine judgment.
Yeah, he came threatening people's lives, and it didn't work out for him.
Divine judgment. I mean, what are the odds that a kid comes in, a little boy, kind of like, well, not maybe a little boy, but probably about the same age as the kids that he would have molested would have been now. Because Rittenhouse was about, was underage.
Years.
Yeah. And not only that, but he would be an expert fucking marksman. Like, his shots are really,
They were really good.
Mean.
Well, he said he didn't.
Rittenhouse was 17.
Cage, what's his name, when he shot in the bicep. He said he didn't even realize he had shot him until he saw him running away.
God put an expert fucking marksman in the way and said, you know what? It's almost like God said, you know what? Man's system has failed.
Well,
the justice system failed us twice by letting this man go free.
It just goes to show that, you know, people on the opposite side aren't worried about what was self-defense or what was legal.
No,
was factual.
It's like, oh, he was murdered. And I was looking at the people, and I was like, oh, my God, these ladies have children.
So you remember
these ladies have children.
They had a protest where someone yelled Trumper, and then they shot a guy and shot him. And you don't hear about that because it happened. It was in the news, and it was dropped like that.
Well, see, the woman that I was arguing with, her face looked like a man. She was fat, and she had two kids. I'm like, how the fuck? Was she hot at any point? And then just feminism happened. And,
like Dave Chappelle.
And she had like moons on her faces and stuff. On her face, she had like.
No, not you.
Moon. She had like moons on her face and all that. I was like, oh my God. And then I looked at the other one, and I'm like, no. And she's got kids too. I'm like, oh my God, you're just fucking single white Karens that are bitching about the same shit that got fucking Ken fired. You know? And they're like, oh, pedophile. But at the same time, these are the same women that cry about not having a man. Oh, I wish I had a man. And then some guy that does something else, like...
Well...
Like a guy like me with a doll, they're like, I mean, they're like, well, how old is your doll anyway?
Well, and I'm like,
how old do you believe she is? And it's like, what the fuck? And it's like, what do you want me to say? I mean, for all extents and purposes, she's forever 21. But you know, I it's stupid to even say that. Like, what do you want me to say? Oh, she's 15 or something? I mean, is that... I mean, what the hell? It's the stupidest shit. It's pure jealousy.
Object.
It's pure jealousy on their part. Because they're like, you'd rather have a doll than me. Yeah, I would. Because, first of all, you're coming after me with all this bullshit. You know, talking about... And I'm like, look, you are the same person. And I did well with this comment. I said, you are the same person that will talk about how a law is unfair... If you have an unfair law, you're like, oh, fuck that law. I'm not going to believe in that law. That law doesn't need to exist. Fuck the police. But now you're saying, oh, laws are there for a reason. Well, only the laws you agree with, right?
Or only when it's convenient
only when it,
for
yeah,
you.
Only yeah. The laws you agree with. I said, what happened to ACAB and all that other shit? What happened to all that? She's like, well, I'll use my right as a citizen and protest the law. Like I'm supposed to with my amendment rights. It's like...
Protesting and destroying people's livelihoods.
Yeah,
it's two different things.
Fucking things.
Like, protest is out there marching, saying something. Tearing people's shit up, I believe owners should be allowed to use deadly force. Because you don't know how much of their lives are poured into that business. Like, they've spent, you know, if that goes under, they don't have enough years to rebuild some of them. So, and some of them don't have insurance. And even if they do have insurance, if you've ever been in a car wreck, insurance goes up
when you're
screwed up. And whether it was your fault or not, it's going to come back on the people that you weren't even mad at in the first place. Half of them are probably the black people you're trying to support.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, here is the comment she used, and you guys have got to hear this to believe this. Because they were like, what was the minority that was injured in the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting? And the woman, the man-faced woman, says, the minority was the Black Lives Matter movement that Joseph Rosenbaum was standing for. That was the minority that was injured.
Oh, the guy
and
was yelling the N-word to all the black people.
That's
me,
what she
N-word,
said.
Shoot me.
That
sounds like a true Black Lives supporter.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Like again... The minority that was harmed was the Black Lives Matter movement that he was standing for. I was like, oh my God. And people put heart reacts on that and everything. I'm like, oh my God, you leftist fucking bitches.
It was like someone killing somebody and it happening to be Jeffrey Dahmer. It was like, oh my God, you hit the jackpot of people you could have killed. I mean,
right.
Self-defense.
We don't know what Rosenbaum would have done years later. We don't know what would have happened. We may have saved a kid from being raped and murdered.
When someone says they're going to cut out your heart,
yeah,
if they catch you alone, and then sets up an ambush with, I can't think of the other two people.
Did he literally say he was going to cut out Kyle Rittenhouse's heart?
Said he was going to F and kill them. First, he said, I'm going to F and kill y'all if I get any of y'all alone. He had those two people as a wife and a husband, I believe, with him. So when, and then the second time Kyle ran into him, he said, I'm going to cut your effing heart out. Or,
wow.
So
he did when, say and that. And then when shit. He
well, when you watch the video, when he ran, they were trying to say he chased Rosenbaum. He was running past him with the fire extinguisher on. It was so much video, there was no denying it. No. There was no way he could.
That's why the kid walked.
Honestly, and say, oh. But basically, those two people that was with Rosenbaum were there blocking him off and had a gun on him. He ran around them.
Mm-hmm.
Rosenbaum still pursued him and got him to the cars, and that's where he got shot. So he was trying to ambush him to hurt him. And it's not up to you to make it a fair fight if someone's coming at you trying to hurt you. I don't care if it's fists or what. If you got a gun, you got to defend yourself, or you might be brain damaged or
right.
not be able to eat or talk right, change your own clothes, or even use the bathroom properly. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's see. We got... All right. Here's an interesting one. This one was shared by Invader Tech. Usually Hoshioni shares a lot of my... posts most of my articles, but Invader Tech did this one. This is... from the Liverpool Echo. Couple marry despite never meeting in real life. What? They are still yet to meet as they wait for her visa application to be accepted. A couple have gotten married through Zoom. Why? Why would you be so stupid? Even though they have never... No, I don't want to sign in as anybody.
They never met.
I'm sorry. They popped... Stupid pop-ups come up. Even though they have never met each other in real life before. Northwest student... Ayse? Okay, Ace. I guess we're going to call her Ace. Met Darren online after joining a Facebook group in lockdown to find a pen pal. The 26-year-old hoped finding someone new to speak. Let me get this right. The 26-year-old hoped that finding someone new to speak to would help with boredom during the coronavirus pandemic. Ace initially spoke to a woman called Kenda, 56, from Michigan, who told her that she had a son called Darren who was similar to age to Ace. Okay. Kenda passed her son's contact details on to Ace, and the pair started chatting as friends on July 2020, but were soon inseparable and on the phone to each other every night, even with a five-hour time difference. After becoming an official item, Ace began planning a trip to the States to meet her boyfriend for the first time in July, but travel restrictions to the U.S. made this impossible. The couple continued to share weekly date nights on video calls, ordering each other takeaway food, which is called takeout, and treats as a surprise each week. And on May 21st this year, Darren surprised Ace even further by proposing. Knowing it would be a long time before they'd get to meet for the first time, the couple made the brave decision to get married via Zoom in a legal ceremony officiated in Utah, USA. Holy shit, is she a big girl. Dude, and you know what? He's a black guy. Oh, we know what's going on here.
Is he a feeder?
I don't know, but she is a big girl. Ace, a cleaner from Lancaster, said, I never imagined this would happen to me in a million years. I don't think anyone expected this when we started talking last year. But we're married and it's all completely legal and official. I still can't believe it. It's been really hard not being able to meet properly, but in the long run, it will make us stronger because we've had to go through all this to be together. We just really love each other. No, he loves the idea of just opening her mouth wide and filling it with as much food as we possibly can to make her get bigger and bigger and bigger. They're like, I say this all the time, but there was a band, I think it was Dying Fetus that talked about it. Not Dying Fetus. It was Pig Destroyer. Pig Destroyer said that there was this underground thing that they used to watch, like when they were young, back when the internet was more, you know, open. And they basically had these videos where they would take skinny women and they would just put them into a machine and fill them with lard and make them really, really, really fat. Yeah, they just put a tube into them. Yeah, and they're the mouth, and just fill them with lard, and they would just...
Was it an animation, or...
No, it was real.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Real? Yes, it's an underground thing. Back in the days of the internet, like then, that used to have crazy shit like that that you could find. I mean,
your stomach can only hold so much before it erupts.
I don't know how they...
being stretched.
I don't know how they did it, but that's what they were showing. I don't know if it was... I don't know if it was, like... But, exaggerated or what, but that's what they were showing.
Or like reverse liposuction, maybe?
Yeah, know? Something like that. I don't think anyone expected
Which
this.
Still,
when
the chemical imbalance yep. could kill you.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah, they don't care about that.
But that's why you have to lose so much yep. weight, because they can only take so much yep. off at a time in liposuction.
I don't think anyone expected this when we started talking last year, but we're married and it's all completely legal and official. I still can't believe it. But it's really... been really hard not being able to meet properly because in the long run it would make us stronger. But in the long run, she says it will make us stronger because we've had to go through all this together. We just really love each other. How? You don't even fucking know each other. When the UK went into lockdown, Ace joined a Facebook group with the idea of finding a pen pal to speak to somewhere else in the world to alleviate her boredom. She began speaking to a woman named Kenda Akarer, who mentioned she had a son who was a similar age who was also looking for people to talk to. Ace said, "It's funny that I met my mother-in-law before I met my husband. We got on so well, so when she suggested speaking to her son, I thought it was a great idea, although I was a bit nervous because I'd seen photos of him and he looked lovely." Kenda passed
Ace. He looked lovely.
Passed Ace her son's Darren's number, and she sent a message to introduce herself. Darren responded, and the pair began chatting frequently before he suggested they call each other on the phone. Ace downloaded a mobile app, which allowed her to call the U.S. for free before calling her pen pal for the first time. She said, "I was worried it might be awkward, but we talked for hours. We have so much in common, including both being terrified of thunder and lightning, and both having owl tattoos with blue eyes. I'm not a flirty person, but it came so naturally when I was chatting to Darren. We got on so well straight away." The pair began chatting every day via phone, video call, and text, and each night would sleep while on the phone to each other, so they felt closer. I got news for you. As soon as this lockdown ended, which it did, old Darren, he's going to find him some strange. He is. He's going to find it some strange. What about that white girl you talking to from the UK? Oh, I fuck up about that bitch no more. I got these hoes over here. Like, I'm telling you.
It just depends on what kind of guy he is, really.
She don't know. Don't know.
Well, that is the fact. Like, you don't get married. You don't
Right, you
know
don't fucking
person.
Marry somebody you don't know. Due to the 5-hour time difference, it meant Ace was falling asleep at 2 in the morning, a sacrifice she said was completely worth it.
You're the one that thinks that's the future of dating.
Yeah. She added, "It was during the pandemic, so I wasn't working at..." Well, I mean, the difference between the dating thing is that they actually get to fucking see them in person. Yeah. Now, they can pretend to be whatever, but at least they get to see them in person. And I guess that's what matters. I mean, because again, that's a paid thing. That's a paid thing. That's a paid thing. They're not marrying each other. It's a paid thing. They're paid to pretend to be boyfriends.
Yeah.
She added, "It was during the pandemic." Oh, and the guys, I don't know. I mean, there is escorting and stuff like that. But, like the red light district and stuff, and the love hotels. But a lot of guys, they just sit at home and watch anime and hentai and do all that kind of shit. So, yeah. Okay. So, let me get back to this. And it said, "It's the closest we can get. It might sound strange, but it's a huge comfort. Darren asks Ace to be his girlfriend November 2020 after a few months of chatting every day, and the couple began planning for Ace to visit the U.S. for them to meet the first time. Hoping the travel restrictions in place due to COVID would be lifted by summer, Ace booked flights to Detroit. This motherfucker from Detroit.
Yeah.
For 23rd July 2021, for herself and mom, Elaine 67, and dad, Nigel 74, both retired. Unfortunately, the U.S. was still restricting travel from the U.K., which meant Ace and her family wouldn't be able to fly directly, hoping to avoid ban on U.K. arrivals, but determined to meet her boyfriend in person the first time. Ace flew to Mexico for 15 days before catching an onward flight to Detroit. Is she fucking insane? And another heartbreaking turn of events. Ace was then turned away at U.S. immigration because the immigration office claimed she didn't have enough money in her bank to support herself during her stay and didn't have strong enough ties to the U.K. Ace said, I think they thought that if they let me in the U.S. that I'd never leave because of Darren. His address was listed as where I was staying on my tourist visa, and they asked my relationship to him. So when I told him he was my boyfriend and they saw I'd been in Mexico for 15 days, I guess they thought I'd try to outstay my visa. I would have never done that. It was so heartbreaking to be so close to him in the same city but not be allowed through the border. I was put on the next flight home and cried the whole way back. Just days after she returned to her home in Lancaster, Darren suggested a special date night where they both got dressed up to spend some virtual time together. She added, I didn't tell my parents straight away when we first started talking, but they twigged there was something going on when I was on the phone all the time. They had reservations about it to start with, but I suggested they chat to Darren on Skype, and they saw straight away how crazy we both are about each other. When Darren proposed, he spoke to my dad beforehand to ask his permission, which I thought was really sweet and know my dad really appreciated. In our heads, as long as our family and friends are supportive, that's all we need. The couple originally planned to tie the knot when they finally got the chance to meet for the first time, but after reading about a new law passed that made international virtual wedding ceremonies legal in the state of Utah and U.S., they decided to go ahead straight away. They should have never done that. Ace and Darren tied the knot on 19th of August in an online ceremony officiated by the state of Utah and are now officially husband and wife. Despite travel restrictions being lifted to the U.S. from the U.K. this week, Ace has to wait for another visa to be accepted before she can book her flight.
You know how what's kind of funny is she's having a hard time meeting the guy she's apparently married to while Biden's just letting
I know.
People from south of the border just walk on over. And he's shipping them all across America without telling the states ahead of time.
Yep. She said, we don't know when we'll be able to get over there, but we are trying to be as positive as we can while we wait. Looking back, it seems like so long ago we started as pen pals, and now we're battling against the world together, Darren said. As we haven't met in person yet, we haven't been able to have a physical relationship, which means that our marriage is based off more than that. Hold on a minute, folks. Yeah. A lot of pauses on this one. I got really confused. This hasn't affected our relationship like it could do to others. This is not something we see as the most important aspect. And we value other things such as communication more. It's not every day you find your best friend and the love of your life in one. So I wasn't going to let her get away simply because we live in different countries. I'm looking. Ha ha ha, the teddy bear. Sounds about right. How could someone be so stupid? Green card. Let me see. I'm going to see what some of the responses are to this one. Lunatic. Let's see.
Yeah.
She needs to be examined by professionals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's
she
no
seems
better.
To be doing all the traveling. Why can't he come here to meet her in Mexico when she was there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... The little toy with his face on is really creepy. Are you of your head, girl? He could be a murderer for all you know. He is banned from traveling. Some people are crazy. What a load of rubbish. He's driving a right-hand drive car in America. He's probably sat outside of her house. I don't even know. This is British people.
Yeah.
This is British. I should read. She really thought this through, and surely you need witnesses present when you get married. How do they sign the register of marriage on Zoom? How does she consummate the marriage
well,
by kissing the groom?
Well, they probably have witnesses on both sides of the Zoom call.
I guess. It's so fucking stupid.
And the preacher
stupid.
Usually can... no, they need another person beside the preacher to witness, I think.
It's all bollocks. Why do humans keep trying... Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one posted by Hoshioni. We'll end, I guess we'll end with this one because we'll open up the open mic for a few. Why do humans keep trying and failing at monogamy? Here's what science and history says. Okay, so this is a new article by Dr. Kate Lister. According to the dating app Field, which I've never even fucking heard of, there has been a dramatic surge of interest in couples opening up their relationships and exploring non-monogamy. Since the last lockdown was lifted, this app has seen close to a 400% increase among women's keywords searching for ethical non-monogamy and polyamory, a whopping 500% more than this time last year. Given the obvious interest in non-monogamy, you have to wonder, when did monogamy become the norm? Are we even supposed to be monogamous? Oh, Lord, there's a great big book I have called, what is it? It's Sex at Dawn. Christopher Ryan, he talks all about it. Okay, if we are, then humans are a very select group of creatures. True monogamy in the animal kingdom is incredibly rare, especially in mammals. Only a handful of animals have ever been identified who really do mate for life and stay faithful to one another. Scientists call this kind of monogamy genetic monogamy. There are animals that are almost completely monogamous, prairie voles, swift vole foxes, golden-cheeked gibbons, who all try their best to stray but don't always manage to stay faithful. Despite what friends' merchandise has told us over the years, lobsters do not mate for life. In fact, they're quite slutty. They form a monogamous attachment or a pair bond for about a week, shag each other senseless, and then part ways. It's more of a holiday romance than an exemplar of eternal love and devotion. This type of monogamy, where an attachment is formed and both partners are faithful for the duration, is known as social monogamy and is pretty common throughout the animal kingdom. And what of humans? We've all been raised on a diet of Disney movies and love ballads that seem to promote genetic monogamy, not only as the norm, but as aspirational. This might be true for a lucky few, but I think we all know that as a species, humans are not strictly monogamous. Truth be told, we aren't even monogamish. At best, we are trying to stay faithful to one partner at a time, known as serial monogamy. But even then, we're not great at it. A 2019 literature review on human mating patterns concluded that, while there are many ethnographic examples of variation across human societies in terms of marriage patterns, extramarital affairs, the stability of relationships, and the ways in which fathers invest, the pair bond is a ubiquitous feature of human mating relationships, which means we are socially monogamous, forming primary partnerships one at a time and really, really trying not to shag other people. Basically, we give it a go. So the question then becomes, why do we keep trying to pair bond and stay sexually faithful to one person? Where did this model come from? What function does it serve? And why do we keep trying to do it? Monogamy is actually something of a conundrum to anthropologists. From a purely evolutionary point of view, it doesn't make much sense. I'm sure you have heard in many variations as men are supposed to spread their seed arguments as I have, but what is often overlooked is that women are supposed to do this too. Having as much sex as possible will increase the chance of falling pregnant enormously, and having sex with multiple partners means sampling a wide range of genetic goodies. It's even been suggested that the reason human sperm coagulates after ejaculation is to help to block rival sperm from gaining entry into the cervix. Simply put, your swimmers are expecting a crowd. Lots of non-monogamous animals do this. It's called a mating plug, and if you want to ruin your afternoon, do look this up online. Yet, monogamy overrides all of this and can actually leave you circling the shallow end of the gene pool. And there is, as yet, no satisfactory explanation as to why humans do it. But there are a lot of theories. There is certainly historical influence to consider. It can be tempting to think of our earliest ancestors comforting in sexual abandon with multiple partners in an endemic paradise. But that is far from certain, and if you make such claims as at an anthropology convention, prepare for a fight. Pair bonding with one primary mate is found in almost every culture throughout history and is often referred to as marriage. But marriage and monogamy are not the same thing and never have been. Throughout the ancient world, men were expected to take a wife, but have sexual relationships outside of that with slaves, concubines, harems, and mistresses. This is a system known as polygyny. Women having multiple husbands and male lovers, polyandry is much, much rarer, but not without precedence. Fraternal polyandry is still practiced among some Tibetans in Nepal, for example. The Catholic Church didn't think too much of polygyny, and St. Augustine tried to abolish it in 380 AC, well, they're using ACE, and in 534 ACE. We'll call those BC. That's AD. These are 380 AD and 534 AD. The Justinian Code criminalized extramarital sex, but this didn't stop people playing away. It just pushed the idea it was a sin, and not everyone agreed. European monarchs were not only expected to take a mistress, but the role of royal mistress was an official title at court. It was an aspirational job. In fact, the pressure to have a mistress was so great that Frederick I of Prussia, who was deeply in love with his wife, appointed Katharina von Wartenberg to the role, but never actually had sex with her. Monogamy has been held up in the norm. I want to see how long. No, it's almost. Oh, let me see. No, it's not that long. It's not that long. I thought it was going to be pretty long. Monogamy has been held up as the norm in Western culture for thousands of years, and there is some truth to the argument that we keep doing it because we have inherited it. But this doesn't satisfy evolutionary biologists who have had their own theories about why we keep trying and failing in sexual fidelity. One of the most accepted theories is that of paternal care and joint child rearing. Human heterosexual mating patterns throughout history have been largely driven by who is left holding the baby. Human babies need constant care if they are to survive, which means someone has to look after them. Pair bonding makes this considerably easier because resources can be shared, which in turn improves the offspring's chance of survival. Arguably, bonding with more than one would be even better, but one partner at least ensures co-parenting can take place. Even couples who have no intention of having a baby are still hardwired to be exclusive. And then there's money. Money has a habit of changing things, and the rise of capitalism certainly changed how we had sex. As soon as we started passing money and titles down the male line, making sure your missus didn't have someone else's bun in her oven became paramount. The theory not only plays out most of Western history, but helps to explain why polygyny is so much more socially acceptable than polyandry. The sultans of the Ottoman Empire, for example, enjoyed a harem of several thousand women who in turn had to remain entirely faithful to their lord or risk being put to death. If you don't have 15,000 concubines to be getting on with, then pair bonding with one person is also a good idea if there aren't enough sexual partners to go around, and it has been posited that population density and availability of mates may have also played a part. It has also been suggested that humans are monogamous because of concealed ovulation, which means there isn't any obvious sign when it's optimal baby-making time. Meanwhile, when a female baboon is in the mood, her hindquarters swell up like a life buoy ring to let everyone know. Another theory on human monogamy is sexual dimorphism, which basically means that the difference in size between males and female and primates, the bigger the difference, the less likely they are to be monogamous. Male gorillas, for example, are almost twice the size of females, and he will compete fiercely to maintain exclusive sexual access to his hairy harem. Chimpanzees, on the other hand, our closest genetic relative, are significantly closer in size and tend to be monogamous and polygynous. There may be some historical evidence to back this up. Scientists believe that once upon a time, dimorphism was more prominent in humans. By once upon a time, I mean roughly 4 million years ago, when Australopithecines were getting jiggy. The theory goes that dimorphism decreases, monogamy increase. But this is contested, as finding enough remains to prove this is beyond doubt is tricky. My personal favorite theory is that of testis size. It is the fact that in species where females mate with multiple males, the testes tend to be larger in relation to body size. This is an argument explored in Ryan Schacht and Karen Kramer's 2019 paper, where they conclude, adjusting for body size, human testes are smaller than would be predicted, and when compared to our closest living relatives, are considerably smaller than those of chimpanzees. Together, this provides evidence of relatively low rates of sex outside of a pair bond. So there you have it. Men just don't have the balls to be properly promiscuous. Science says so. There are other theories ranging from monogamy reducing the chances of infanticide to there being a genetic component, but no one seems to think it's because we're in love. By and large, humans are serial, socially monogamous creatures who like to join forces with a sexy pal to share resources, possibly co-parent a child, and watch out for one another. I've heard people say monogamy isn't natural many times, but that's not quite true. In fact, most societies, monogamy is the dominant marriage type. But as a species, we are not completely faithful and never have been. Not that any of this would get you off the hook should you stray from the marital bed. You can explain about the tiny testes and sexual dimorphism, but I doubt it would do any good. If you are someone who married the first person you ever had sex with, and you were their first lover too, and if you have both stayed completely faithful to one another and never even thought about being with another person, please report to the Royal Anthropological Society along with the California Mouse and the Malagasy giant jumping rat immediately. You are a very special monkey indeed. Well, that is quite fascinating. That was fascinating, because it shows that, yes, while we are predisposed to polygyny, most marriage relationships across culture are monogamous. I mean, it's just how it is.
Well, yeah.
So, it's interesting. I think that polygyny is definitely becoming a bigger thing. I got a friend of mine right here I know locally. He posted a picture today with two women kissing him. And he says he loves both of them very much. I know this guy. He comes in all the time. He's a biker dude. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty cool guy. I like him. He's a musician. He does rap. He does rock. He does all kinds of stuff. And pretty cool guy. I hate this part of the game. Oh, this part sucks. See, those things there, if they explode, you die. They're like bombs. They don't attack you, but they blow up. And you have to just kind of be aware of them. And they actually put you in a maze-like thing where you have to avoid them. And it is the most bullshit part in the entire game. I'm talking the whole game. This is the DLC.
Yeah.
This isn't the game. Game is over, but this is the DLC. But you have to get by these stupid things. See, when they're eating, you don't have to worry about them. But if you get too close to them, like when they're moving around, they'll turn red, and then they'll explode. And you're dead. Yeah, it's just the stupidest thing ever. See how she has to sneak around them? Oh, it's so stupid. There are developers in Japan I could hit for making this part. Just right in the head, baseball bat. It's like, we're gonna do this! No, you're not! Boom! It's like, a game doesn't need DLC. It's fine. You know what I wanted, though? I wanted a story where she had a gun. I get it. You love Metal Gear Solid. I get it. I understand. But you know what? I don't like sneak games. I don't. I don't care if the story in Metal Gear Solid is just amazing. Give me a fucking Cliff Notes on the entire story of Metal Gear Solid so I can experience every part of it without having to sneak past one enemy. I would rather read Metal Gear Solid for its story than play the game.
Killing them because, all before
yeah,
they saw
see,
them.
I'm thinking about just using the code where you don't have to sneak on everybody and playing Metal Gear Solid as a not sneak game where you just go up and shoot fucking people. Like, turn it into a top down Contra. Like, that's what I want to do. Because I hate sneaking games. I hate where I have to sneak. I'm always. See, and one thing about it is because I grew up in an era where we didn't have games where you snuck around. When you had the 2D game, you have to hit the enemy. You shoot him, you kick him, you punch him. You don't sneak past him. That was one new thing, and I get it. The stealth genre kind of really started, and it's a big thing, and people love it. But I hate it. I hate stealth games because I like to just fucking hit things. Look, see? You see it turns red, and they start to, they're going to blow up. That's what I hate about this fucking part. But all right, guys, we've talked enough, and I got more articles to cover later. There's always more articles, and we will have Phoenix on, who's, I guess, changed his name to Justice. I don't know what I'm calling him anymore. But anyway, he just got out of the hospital, but he says he's in no condition to do the shows right now.
Oh, shit.
No, he just got out of the hospital, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because if you knew, I mean, remember, he was going through something that very much.
Oh, no, that's the video.
Oh.
You saw one of them.
Yeah, you jokers. See it. Yeah, you see it now, right?
Yeah.
But no, what I was saying is he went through a lot, and he's now out of the hospital, but he's not in any condition yet to do his show. He actually got a hold of me and DM
exactly
and said he's not ready.
What happened to him, or?
Yeah, he had fucking leukemia.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I didn't know how many people knew that. I didn't know it.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't publicly announce it, I guess. Anyway, yeah, he did, and he's doing better. And we're just going to have to wait, and hopefully we can get to him, because he wants to do a show with me, you, Yoshken. And maybe we can get Drexel back on again, and we'll do everything with much better recording quality this time, guys.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that one.
I wish I had recorded it the way I was going to record it. It would have come out much better.
Was it still listenable? Or
Barely. It's not a very good one. We're going to definitely do it again. I will definitely talk about better recording quality.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess that's going to be the end of this one, and you guys take it easy, and that's the Grimlord, Dead Penetration, and we are out of here.
Later.
Joy to the climb.